to hear a little laughter going on back there. I like that. You ought to be able to laugh in church, right? Be serious, but you can laugh as well. So, welcome, man. I love Wednesday nights. Hey, Cornbread, give me a little light back here so I can see who I'm preaching to. I like to make eye contact with the folk I'm preaching to a little bit. So glad you're here. You know what? I love Wednesday nights. We talk about, I know Connor always talks about, or he talks a lot about Wednesday nights, but I love Wednesday nights for several reasons. I love them, one, because we're not rushed. And when I started preaching back 23 years ago, we were in the little church back down the road, you know, and there was 12, 15 of us gathered, and we'd have church, and we'd worship, and we'd preach, and then we'd open the altars, and man, people came down to the altars and prayed and spent time together praying and crying out to God and seeking God. And people used to always accuse me of preaching long, and I never did preach really long. I've had about 30, 35 minutes in me. That's all I've got. You know, you can time it on your watch, but we just said, you know what, we're just going to spend time in church. Who says church is supposed to be an hour? Who says we can't be later than the Baptist getting to the cafe down there? Who says, you know, and I just love those days. Back in those days, it was just like, come and let's worship God. Let's hear the word of God. Let's pray for people. Let's lay hands on people. Let's trust God to do the miracles that we really sing about. Let's do that. And those were great days and great memories. And I think that God built a great foundation in Bethel Assembly in Anson back in those days. And so nowadays people will say to me, well, I'll tell you, church just ain't the same anymore. We're just in a hurry over. You know, we got to go. We got an hour and we got to get 8 o'clock and 9:30 and 11 o'clock. And so here's the thing I would say to you. I miss those days too. But at some point we mature and we grow and we have to build our own personal altar in our homes. And we can pray for everybody in our homes and pray for people in our daily lives. You know, in a perfect scenario, we can hang out in church all day long as well. But we can't do that because the Lord has caused growth in this place. And I'd rather have a lost butt sitting in a chair on a Sunday morning to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ than for us to linger and try to seek more of the Lord on church time. We got to do that at home. And so anyway, that was extra. I love Wednesday nights because we're not in a hurry. Because we can come hang out and we can come worship God and we can come seek the power of God. And there's just something about when we gather together in unity and we worship and we hear the preaching of the Word of God. Speaking of the preaching of the Word of God, how many of you were here last time we had church on Wednesday night? Come on, somebody. How about Cole Hatfield? Put your hands together and give him some love, man. The Lord is really growing him and God's going to use him, and we don't even know what God's going to do. But man, just great job, Cole, and we love you and we're proud of you. And so tonight we're going to pick up where Cole left off. We're going to pick up in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verse 25 through 32. We'll just pray. We'll just see what we can unpack and how much time we have and see what the Lord would say to us. We'll read it, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Says this, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. Hurt me to even read that one to y'all. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Along with all malice, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Holy Spirit, speak to us. We come from different places. We come from different ages. We come from different scenarios in life. But we all come together because we need you. We need your word. We need encouragement. We need conviction. We need to be challenged. We need to be pushed. So Holy Spirit, do your work in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, the first thing in verse 25 says, therefore. Therefore is a word that means this. It means in consequence of that. It means as a result of. So if you're going to read verse 25 and say therefore, you have to look back at the verse 24 to see what Paul is referencing. And Paul is referencing in verse 24 that we are going to put on our new man and put on our new person and quit being the way that we've always been and quit being the way that our parents were and quit being the way that our grandparents were. But we realize that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We have a new heart. We have a new mind. We have new motives. We have new attitudes. And Jesus is saying, Paul is saying here, you know what? Because you've put on this new person, how many of you are proud to be a new person in Christ Jesus? Come on, somebody. I used to pretend like I liked the old person that I was, but it was all pretend and it was all make-believe. I didn't really like me, and I didn't like my tactics, and I didn't like my attitude, and I didn't like my heart, but I was obligated to act like I loved me. But at night when I was by myself and when I was alone in my car, I really didn't like me. And people say to me all the time, Cody, how come you're so loud? Cody, how come you're so excited? Because I say this, I know the old me and I know the new me. The new me is not perfect, and the new me belongs to Jesus Christ. I am thankful that I'm not the old person. Therefore, Paul says, because you're putting on this new man and this new person, how many of you know that you and I, if we're going to be all we can be in Christ Jesus, if we're going to continue to be cutting edge, if we're going to continue to stay on fire for the Lord, if we're going to continue to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, if we're going to continue to be Spirit-led, how many of you know there needs to be constant recreation in our life? We have to constantly renew our mind. We have to constantly be growing. We have to constantly have openness to new things. See, the tendency in the church is I get saved and I get new and I get born again and then I'm good for the rest of my life on this earth. And we get stale and stagnant and flat and stinky, and we never ever grow and we never ever recreate. If you and I want to be all that God has called us to be, I am thankful that God did a new work in me, but he did a new work in me years ago, and he is still trying to do a new work in me today, because where I am today is not where God wants to leave me. God wants to take me from glory to glory to glory, and I have to allow him to recreate me on a daily basis. Daily. Let me just ask you something because I love you. What's something new that God is trying to do in you? What something new, a new mindset, a new attitude, a new heart, a new revelation? What is God trying? Because he always wants to do something new in us. And Paul says, therefore, because you're a new person and you're living this new life in Christ and you're glorifying God, Paul says, put away all falsehood. Put away all lying. You need to know that Paul is writing this letter not to the lost people, but he's writing it to the church. He's telling the church of Ephesus, hey, church, y'all got to stop this falsehood. Church, you got to stop this lying. Church, you got to start telling the truth. Can I tell you? I've been pastoring for 23 years and I am blown away at the number of Christian people that will look you in the eye and lie to you. If I'm telling you the truth, I am blown away at the people that claim Christianity and they claim to be born again, but they will look you in the eye and they will lie to you in order to try to benefit themselves. You and I. Therefore, because we've been born again, because we've been saved, because we've been changed, we got to put away lies. Can I just say this? I think we've grown a little bit accustomed to lies in the world we live in nowadays. We've grown a little bit accustomed, a little bit numb to lying, because everywhere you look today, people lie. The government lies. Come on, somebody. The politicians lie. The news media lies. Even our education system is teaching some lies. Everywhere we turn, we see that people are lying. And you and I are called by God not to be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And you and I have got to know that lying and falsehood is very dangerous in the eyes of God. It's a killer. Can I tell you this? Little lies. Small lies, white lies, big lies, money-making lies, lies to help someone else, lies that may have your best interest in heart, lies to cover something up, lies to benefit yourself, lies to benefit others, lies to stop a conflict, or lies to avoid trouble. They all have one thing in common. They're lies. And lies are lies are lies, and it's falsehood, and you and I got to go. I lived a life of falsehood, and I lived a life of darkness. Now I have been transformed into the glorious gospel light, and I will not be a part of that anymore, no way, no how. Lying is one of, we've been talking about home sweet home. We've been talking about the Big Ten Commandments. We've been talking about the Big Ten. Do you know that lying is one of the Big Ten? Dude, we've been talking about our kids learning and teaching to our children. I want to read you some scripture about what the Word of God says about lying. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. Lying is an abomination. Murder is an abomination. Homosexuality is an abomination. Can I go down the list and tell you the things that are abominations to God? And lying falls into that category. Proverbs 13:5. The righteous hate falsehood, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace. You and I should hate falsehood. Should hate it no matter what. Proverbs 6. Let's go this far and read this. Proverbs 6, verse 16 and 17. There are six things that the Lord hates. Come on, somebody. The Lord hates it. God the Father hates it. Six things He hates. Seven things are an abomination to Him. The first thing is haughty eyes, righteous self-righteousness, holier than thou, I'm better than you, us looking down on others. The second thing that God hates is a lying tongue. It's a lying tongue. Can I just tell you something right quick, y'all? When we lie, and let's don't act like we're not all. A little bit guilty. Let me just make sure I look at all of you. Tubby, quit looking down. Look at me, Tubby. Look at me. Let's don't act like this is, oh, this must be for my neighbor. Praise God. I've been serving Jesus for 35 years. I'm washed in the blood, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't have problems with this. Yeah. Yeah, good for you. If you don't have a problem with this, you are welcome to leave early tonight. Because when we lie, and I'm going to prove it to you with the scripture. When we lie, little lies, little falsehood. To keep things smooth, to try to bring peace, to comfort someone else, not to hurt someone's feelings. When we lie, we align ourselves with Satan. When we lie and when we participate in any kind of falsehood, we align ourselves with Satan. How many of you have ever aligned yourself with Satan before? Come on, somebody. I'm done with that business. I'm done aligning myself with Satan. Now I want to align myself with the one who brings life. I want to align myself with the one who shows me grace and mercy. I want to align myself with the one that gave His life for me. I want to align myself with Jesus Christ. When we participate in falsehood, we align ourselves with Satan. John 8:44. Here's the scripture. You are the father of the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. Watch this. and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. When the devil lies, he speaks out of his character. His character is untrue. His character is a character that you cannot trust. And when we lie, we speak out of the same character as Satan. It is what it is, whether it's lying to your spouse, lying on your income tax, lying to your boss as to why you're late, lying to the highway patrolman as to why he pulled you over and you were speeding. Lying is lying. I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge myself tonight. Let's make a commitment as children of God. Let's make a commitment to always, always tell nothing but the absolute straight up truth in every situation. And by doing that, we will teach those around us to tell the truth as well. I'll tell you a quick story about me one time. Back when we had landline phones, y'all remember them? We were living in Abilene, and I had about two or three jobs, and I was give out, and Will was a little boy. I was tired. I was working all the time, and used to have this one lady. I won't tell you her name, but she's from Anson, and she had problems every other day, and she called me every other day, and she wanted me to be this pastor that would run and come over here, and she had an ingrown toenail, and she wanted me to come pray for her ingrown toenail, and, you know, all that, just all the time. And so I'll never forget one time the phone rang, and it was her. And Jennifer answered the phone, and Jennifer goes, Will was running around 3 or 4 years old, and I said, tell her I'm not here. And the Spirit of God smacked me right then. Because I was standing there, and as a father, I was teaching Will that it's okay to lie and not tell the truth and live a life of falsehood if you really don't want to mess with somebody in life. It challenged me, man. It convicted me. And so my prayer is that God would convict you and I of our falsehood and of the things that we might struggle with telling the truth. The second point tonight, we're never going to get done tonight, just saying. Number one, Paul says, put away all falsehood. And number two, in verse 26, Paul says, be angry and sin not. I wonder, don't raise your hand. I wonder how many of us struggle with anger. I wonder how many of us, is there a reason? Is anger craziness? Is anger something that we shouldn't experience? No. Let's be this right. Let's be real. God gets angry at us. And anger is a natural emotion. It's natural feeling that we have. Getting angry, listen to me, look, getting angry is not a sin. But Paul says, be angry and sin not. When does anger become a sin? Anger becomes a sin when we hold on to that anger. When we hold on to it. Hold on to it. When we react to our anger, when we don't use the self-control that the Spirit of God has given us, when we react, that is when sin can come into our life. Be angry and sin not. When you harbor that anger, when you hang on to that anger, when you lay down at night and you remember that anger, and you go, I tell you what, that Terry, that Colorado son of a buck, I know what she did. I'm gonna get Nathan Dixon. I tell you what, you Georgia Bulldog loving son of a buck. Donna, you made me mad Connor, you son. When we hold on to that anger and we keep it inside of us, it bottles up and it begins to turn and begins to bubble and it begins to boil. And sooner or later, we will overreact and we will come out. And that is when sin comes into our life. That's when sin comes. Ephesians 4:27, the next verse says, give no opportunity to the devil. When we hold on to and harbor anger, it gives the devil an opportunity to come and tear down what God is doing in our lives. This has been from day one. If you go back to the book of beginnings and you read it, this anger thing, God, I like, ain't it good preach about anger? You're like, no, just leave me alone. Some of you are like, no, by God, Cody, we shouldn't be preaching about that because it makes me mad. From the beginning of time, God created Adam and God created Eve. They came together, one man, one woman. They reproduced and they had children. And can I tell you, immediately anger entered into the world, and the reaction to anger, and the next thing you're going to see in the Word of God is that Cain got angry and Cain killed Abel. He got angry and he sinned. Let's read it. Genesis 4, verse 3 through 6. The danger of anger. The danger of anger. Genesis 4, 3 through 6. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your face fallen? Let's talk about this anger a little minute. Why was Cain angry? Who was Cain angry at? Was Cain angry at God because God didn't accept his little halfway offering? Was Cain mad at Abel because Abel did better than Cain? Or was Cain mad at himself because he knew he didn't do all that he could do for the Lord? Sometimes we're mad at God. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we're mad at other people in our lives, but sometimes we have to stop and look inwardly because we're really angry at ourselves because we know we have not done everything we could do and given our best for God and the people around us. Nonetheless, Cain was angry. Was it okay that he was angry? Sure. Was his reaction to his anger okay? Absolutely not. He harbored it. He held on to it. It turned to jealousy. It turned to comparison. It turned to bitterness. It turned to wrath. And next thing you know, he responded and he killed his brother. Anger is a killer. Listen to me. I want to say something to you real quick. Look at me. For some of you, I said this for years. I just can't help my anger. My granddaddy was a hot-headed son of a buck. He was red-headed. His name was Red. How many of you know them redheads can get hot really quick? See, all of you redheads, I'm calling you out. Granddaddy Red was a hot-headed sucker. My daddy, hot-headed boy, blow like that. And for years, I could lose it. I mean, I could lose my crap. Come on, somebody. Ask Jennifer. I could lose it like nobody's business. And for years, I said, I can't help it. I can't help it. It's just past when my granddad was. It's the way my dad was. It's this the way I am. It's the way it's going to be. I bought the lie of the enemy. But then I heard the gospel, the full gospel, and the blood of Jesus washed me and cleansed me and made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. And then the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit came and it gave me power. And I understood that I can control the emotion of anger in my life. And some of you need to know tonight, you can control the anger. You can control your reaction to anger in your life. Because Genesis 4:7, Jesus said that, God said this to Cain. Genesis 4:7, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. God said you must rule over your anger. I'm surprised. I told you a while ago that I was surprised at the amount of Christian people and church-going people that would look you in the eye and lie to you. And I'm also still surprised at the number of Christian people that go to church on a weekly basis that struggle with anger. They're angry about stuff all the time. God has redeemed us from that and forgiven us of that. Let me just skip on down. We don't have time to finish all this. Let me skip down to verse 31. Paul says, put away all falsehood. Paul says, be angry and sin not. He goes on to say, you know, you need to work. You need to work hard with your own hands. Be a worker, be a giver. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. But then he goes down to verse 31 and he goes, let's hit this again. Let all bitterness be gone. Let all wrath, let all anger, let all clamor, let all slander be put away from you. Let all malice break. I want us to break those down for a moment because these all kind of go together. What is bitterness? What does that mean, bitterness? It means this. It means resentment. It means somebody did me wrong. It means God didn't hear, didn't answer my prayers. It means it didn't work out like I want. They didn't perform the way I want to. And I am resentful towards someone. I am resentful towards some situation. And I'm going to hold on to that displeasure or that indignation in my life. How many of us still struggle with bitterness? Something went wrong. And you hold on to that displeasure. You hold on to that indignation. You got it inside of you. You won't, maybe you won't let anybody know it, but it's inside of you. You know it and God knows it. How many know we got to get over what everybody else thinks and we got to know that God sees all, knows all, does all, and he knows our heart. You know it. God knows it. Let's deal with this bitterness tonight, y'all. Resentment. Let all wrath, what does wrath mean? What does that mean? Let all wrath be put away from us. It means fierce anger. Some of you, you got wrath, fierce anger. Your fuse is that short, and you can be mad and pissed off and angry and speaking down to your spouse and your children. Just like that, and you're sitting in here tonight, and you're sitting here tonight because God called you here tonight because the truth will set you free, and you need to get over that. Let all bitterness and let all wrath, let all clamor, let all this hot-tempered stuff, let all slander, malicious and defamatory statements. How many of you know some of you, can I just say it? Some of you, you just get angry and you get bitter. And when stuff gets, you can just whip somebody with your tongue. Come on, just beat them up. You're smart. You're good. You are sly. You know how to say, you know how to beat them up. You just know how to be malicious towards them. And you know how to defame them. And you know how to make them feel like they're no good and feel like they're unworthy. How many of you know, therefore, if we are been born again, and therefore, if we are the new creations in Christ Jesus, we got to stop with the slander and beating people up with our words. It all comes out of anger. Malice. Put away all malice. You know what malice means? It means a desire to hurt someone or cause them to suffer. You ever been there? They hurt me, so by God, I'm going to hurt them. And it can be a spouse, it can be an ex-spouse, it can be a parent that maybe left you, it can be a parent that did something wrong, it can be an ex-boyfriend, an ex-girlfriend, it can be someone, whatever it can be. We got to stop being these kind of people that go, you know what, I'm going to cause you to suffer because you caused me to suffer. Conrad, come help me close. Paul says, come on, y'all, let's knock it off. Paul says, let's be kind. And we know some people are hard to be kind to. I just got accused today. Can I tell you this? I didn't even tell Jennifer this. I got accused today of someone said that, I just tell you why I don't go to church down there anymore. Just because he'll speak to me when I go to church, but he won't speak to me at the grocery store if I'm in the grocery store. And it made me so freaking mad. I could just cuss. Because I've been a lot of things, but I'm not an unfriendly dude. I'll talk to anybody. And now I got to remember that when I see that person, I have to be kind and tenderhearted and harbor no anger. because I don't want bitterness and malice and slander to come out. It would be easy for me to slander this person tonight easily. But God goes, come on, man. Stop, Cody. Stop being angry at people. Stop lying. Be tenderhearted. Be kind like I was kind to you. Remember, Cody, when you were living in the pig pen? Remember while you were living your own life? I still loved you and I came to where you were and I redeemed you and I saved you and I changed you. Come on now. Be kind, be tenderhearted, be forgiving just like Christ. Be soft-hearted. Here's what I want us to do tonight. I want us to, Tara, would you cut them lights down a little bit for me a little bit? Because here's what I want to do. I want to ask you, don't stand up. You can stand up or sit. Let's do it that way. Either one, whatever. I don't care. Those of you that stood up, I know that you're under the conviction of the Holy Spirit right now. Y'all were ready to respond before I was ready to open the altars. That's me, Cody. Yes, I confess. I'm teasing. It's all family. It's all home sweet home. I want Connor and the worship team to sing just maybe one verse. Let's just worship for a moment. Let's let the Lord speak to us. And then I want us to take a chance. I want us to be honest. Can we do that tonight, y'all? I want us to be real. And I want us to trust the Lord. Because I just believe by faith. I know this message was a little not normal for Cody. But I believe there's some falsehood that's in the room tonight. That some of us are living this life of falsehood. Maybe it's from an old relationship. Maybe it's even in a relationship right now. The enemy's just lied to you and the lied to you. And the enemy said, you can't come clean. You can't tell the truth. You got to continue this lie. Can I tell you, it's all from the enemy. We know the truth and the truth sets us free. And so some of us are in this room tonight and we need to face the cold, hard truth and live in that truth and walk in that truth. Some of you have been living a lie, the bondage of lies for years. I'm just crazy enough to believe the Lord can break it off tonight. We sang the song a while ago, don't you tell me he can't do it. Oh, he can heal cancer. Oh, he can set the cancer victim free. Oh, he can heal this. Oh, he can do that. Well, I'm going to tell you what, God can set us free from our fallacy. And God can set us free from our anger. Because some of you are like I used to be. You struggle with anger. And it's ruling your life and your relationships and everything. It's rolled over into bitterness, wrath, fierce anger, malice and clamor and slander. So I just want us to take a moment and let the worship team sing a song over us, sing a song with us. And then I want to have an opportunity to pray for you and pray with you in a minute to believe God to set you free from some things tonight. So Holy Spirit, we just ask you to begin to move and to begin to speak and to begin to challenge and challenge us in some hard areas. Challenge us, Lord, where we've been living in for a long, long time. We want to be free because you've been so good to us. We want to give you everything that we've got. So Holy Spirit, move. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's worship and I'll be back in a minute to share some more with you.
So little hope rise, darkness tremble in your holy light. Every eye will see Jesus our God, great and mighty.
here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask everybody to just sit down for a moment. And I'm going to give you an opportunity. The Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 10, verse number 27. It says, "And in that day, the burden will depart from your shoulders, and his yoke will be taken from your neck, and the yoke will be broken because of the anointing." So we just believe that tonight, the burden of falsehood, the burden of living a lie, the burden, how many of you know when you get into that routine, it's just lie after lie after lie after lie, and it becomes a yoke and a burden. God wants to break that off. And so we believe that today is the day, because of the anointing of God, that some of you that are going to be strong enough and willing enough to accept and come up and allow me to just pray for you, boom, that the anointing is going to break that yoke off. Now I'm going to go ahead and say this. Some of you have been living in that fallacy for so long that when you come clean, it may get ugly. Can we be real? We want you to know we're going to be here with you as a church. We want to walk through you with that, walk with you through that. We want to help you. We want to counsel you. We want to hook you up. But it's time that we break that bondage. Some of you were lied to before and betrayed, and you know what that's done? It's caused anger. This anger rules over you, and you know who you are. That anger's turned into bitterness and resentment and wrath and losing your temper and killing people with your tongues and just wanting to hurt others. Here's the deal. Worship team's going to keep singing. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you go, "I want to be prayed for, but I want to be anointed," I'm just going to stay right here. You don't have to confess to me which one it was. I did this, I did that, whatever, the Lord knows. Just come by and let me anoint you with oil and pray for you. If you're not convicted at all, if you have no struggles and no problems at all, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit right where you are. I want you to bow your head. And I want you to start interceding and stepping in the gap and praying for the people that are going to come out down here tonight, because they need you as the body of Christ. They need you as brothers and sisters in Christ to lift their name up before heaven and cry out to God on their behalf. We all are better together than we are by ourselves. So, let's all bow our heads. Holy Spirit, speak to us, for those of us today that struggle. And Holy Spirit, I don't care if it's band members. If band members have to lay their instrument down, if people in the back room running the tech, if people wherever we are, it doesn't matter. Anyone that's under the sound of this voice, Lord, I pray you'd speak to them. And if they know they want to respond and they know they want the yoke broken, Lord, give them the strength and the courage and speak to them to get up and come to the front. And let me just anoint them and pray for them. If not, Lord, let the other people here go to praying and go to interceding right now, because, God, we believe you're going to do it and you're going to set people free tonight, and they're going to be changed by your word. So we love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.